Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back. Combat's the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we've got number 9 UFC featherweight in the world, Yusuf Zalal. Welcome to the show, Yusuf.
Well, thank you for having me, man. Appreciate you.
No worries. So we've got this fight with Josh Emmett now on UFC 320. Massive puncher, big wrestler for you. So why'd you take this match? What are you seeing there that you feel like you can steal that ranking spot?
One, it was the only available fight that was available. Everybody else was either hurt or something like that. And obviously, I want to keep fighting up. I don't want to keep fighting down. I didn't even look down at all. So, and he was the only option that was open. So that's where I called out. And obviously, my style brings a high problems to everybody, you know, and anybody in that division. So I feel like he's going to have a really, really hard time finding me. And then we'll go from there.
Yusuf, should the UFC incentivize people to fight down in the rankings and give them benefits by bumping their ranking up? Because most of the time I hear fighters come on the show and they say, I want to fight up in the rankings. And that's a normal thing to say because you want to climb the rankings, you want to fight for the title. But should the UFC incentivize fighters to fight down in the rankings and then boost their ranking up by doing that, having a strong win streak like yourself?
I mean, 100%. If the UFC call, you answer, you know? That's the end of the day. It's like, you answer the call, and that's what's most important. So, if that means fighting somebody down, it is what it is. It's all about going out there and winning and performing. And the most important thing is winning, you know what I mean? So, that's that. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely, you'll have a lot of risk going down, but you also show the UFC, like, hey, I can shut down all this upcoming prospects and stuff like that, and then they will actually move you up quicker, so...
Yusuf, I've seen that Josh's performance in the UFC have kind of been one that people have said him to be a gatekeeper. You know what I mean? They've said that he's kind of a strong gatekeeper at featherweight, and if you're not on that level, you can't get past him. So what I've seen is the fighters that are able to beat Josh Emmett are usually the ones that are able to have good movement. You know what I mean? We've seen with Yair Rodriguez, he kind of ran around. You have really good movement. You're very hard to track in there with a lot of different fighters. You know, Topuria and Calvin had trouble tracking you. And who else was there? Lerone Murphy also did it to Josh Emmett as well. So I feel like fighters who have really good movement kind of negate his sit-down punches where he can really step on those punches and put people down and also shoot those takedowns. So I feel like that's kind of the way to get around his style. How do you feel about that?
I mean, 100%. I mean, stylistically, you got to think about you can't be in the target for a power puncher, you know what I mean? And to be honest, he is the hardest hitter in the featherweight division. There's nobody like him in that division. So, I mean, besides Jeremy Stevenson, the guy who knocked him out, there's nobody else that I can see that has that one punch put you to sleep. You know what I mean? So, at least that I've seen, but I could be wrong. You never know. Somebody can come out of the blue and just become a knockout artist, you know? But, yeah, so definitely there's a lot of things that it comes in and with the IQ-wise, you know, obviously. But the simplest thing, yeah, don't stay in the middle of fire. So either shield, protect yourself, or move out of the way.
He's really durable as well from what we've seen. You know, like Ilya Topuria threw a kitchen sink at him and also hit him with a bus, and he still managed to survive. So do you feel like grappling with Josh Emmett's kind of a smarter way to fight him, as we've seen him get submitted by Yair, who's not even really a submission guy?
I don't know. I don't know if that was just because he was hurt on the feet. Because I mean, those kicks were disgusting. You know what I mean? So
Woody, yeah.
To kind of, yeah. So I really don't know. And obviously he's a wrestler as well. So you never know. Obviously he has a lot of muscles and he brings a lot of power. So you could definitely, maybe grappling could definitely slow a lot of things down as well. But obviously you never know. So until you get in there and find out.
What I found interesting about your style is that you had so many different skills, you know what I mean? Like your jits, your wrestling, your striking, you have a holistic game. And usually when I see people with a holistic game, I want to see where the origin of their martial arts started. So I can see, oh, they started as a boxer, then they transitioned to wrestling, and vice versa. There's always a story with every fighter. See, I looked at your story and I saw that you were raised in Morocco. Then you went young, when you were younger, you came to the US. So at any point in Morocco, did you pick up any grappling before you came to the US, or have you started all your martial arts in the US?
No, so I started kickboxing in Morocco when I was 10 years old. But yeah, I didn't start doing MMA until I was, well, jiu-jitsu until I was 16, and then MMA when I was 18. So I've been doing MMA for 10 years, but that's about it. But yeah, it's definitely a wild journey and learning experience. But all the coaches that I had in my life, they always taught me how to do everything, like not just be good at one thing. And I remember my coach now, Mark Montoya, told me, he's like, I don't want to be the guy to be like, hey, he has that one thing you got to watch out for him. He's like, no, I want to be the fighter that has, you got to watch out for every single thing that he brings in. I look at the champions, I look at all these guys. They have one thing they're good at, but they're elite at, they're the best at, but they also have everything they're good at. So, especially if you want to be a world champion, you definitely got to be good at everything.
I saw you working with James Krause back in the day, and then you've gone to Mark Montoya. So was that always Factory X, or what teams were you in to get to where you are now?
So I was with the American Top Team down in Denver. They had an American Top Team down here, and then I went to Factory X, and James Krause was with Factory X. So I was just going to KC, train with him, and then came, obviously still in Denver. That's where my hometown is right now. And then we're training with Mark Montoya.
For this fight, do you feel like you've had enough time to prepare for Josh?
Yeah, man, I've been asking for a minute for this fight. You know what I mean? Or just a fight in general. I feel like after I went, Calvin Kattar, I went to Morocco for a month, and then I came back, and after 3 weeks, I was like, all right, I'm ready to go back in and fight. And obviously, I never had an opportunity, and then this opportunity, I had about 8 weeks, so it's not definitely a pretty good enough time to go out there and show out.
I looked at your Instagram and I saw that you went to Morocco recently, back to the motherland. So, what do you think you learned from going back to where your birthplace is?
Man, he just always humbles me, you know, and he shows me where I come from, and shows me all the things that I've really did and I've done and what I'm doing. So it's definitely like an eye-opening and a humbling moment. And I always love that when I go and I get to share the knowledge a little bit. I got to share some few sparring rounds with these young kids, you know, and stuff like that. And they got to see, they're like, oh, okay, what level looks like and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool.
Everyone's kind of talking about, Muay Thai and also the Kyokushin stuff. But people are also stating that Dutch kickboxing is the highest form of kickboxing. And we see that Dutch style is usually in Morocco as well because of the influence there. So when you went back, did you get any chances to work with any of the Dutch style kickboxing?
100%. I got to go with a guy named Mehdi. He fights in I'm pretty sure he fights in Glory, but yeah, he was like a straight Dutch kickboxing, you know, and then stuff like that. And all the young kids that I was going to, they're like sparring like Dutch kickboxing as well. So it was definitely a fun moment, and it brought me back like from when I started kickboxing.
I see heaps of Moroccan fighters like in K1 and stuff. I don't really see too many in Muay Thai. How long do you think it's going to take, or what do you think needs to happen for Moroccan MMA? When are we going to see more Moroccans in MMA?
I think when UFC goes to Africa, and then obviously more gyms. I know that a lot of gyms are opening up right now, and then they have more involved in jiu-jitsu. Obviously, kickboxing is a lot easier down there, but it's definitely they open up a lot more. So I think it's the just time, and then the right opportunities. And I think when they invest in it a little bit more, I think we'll see a lot more Moroccan fighters out there.
Why do you think they haven't gone to Africa yet?
I don't know. I think it's like logistics or something like that. And obviously you gotta have a safe environment for the tourists and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't know which country they want to go to and all that stuff. And obviously there's a lot of thought to go behind that.
So your mum actually put you into kickboxing originally, right?
Yes, I was 10 years old.
Yep, and when that happened, what were you doing? You were a troublemaker on the street or not?
No, man. I was a good kid. I was a good kid. My mom just wanted to keep me away from trouble and don't get involved in trouble. So, and yeah, they always wanted the best for me and stuff like that. So that's why I'm always grateful for them, and I can't wait to, as they say, pay them back.
So, what are their opinions, your parents? What are their opinions on your fighting career, seeing that they put you in there as kind of a hobby and then you've taken it as a profession?
My mom don't like it. My mom doesn't watch me fight. She just supports me, you know. She never like, even though this fight, I was like, she's gonna go to Vegas, but she's not gonna come into the arena. And I was like, I don't know why, but I was like, all right. I was like, okay, cool. But and she's the first time in the U.S. since 2009. She hasn't been here since 2009. So, and yeah, I mean, my dad kind of questioned it in the beginning, but now, like when I got to the UFC and stuff like that, and he was like, all right, like this kid is really dedicated and he's committed.
What do you think are the biggest differences between your first run in the UFC, where I think you went on like a 4-fight win streak, and then you ended up doing the Fight Island, Abu Dhabi. You fought Topuria, and then you fought the Korean guy, and then you had a draw at one point with Damon Blackshear, and then the UFC dropped you, and then you came back to have this really, really strong win streak where you're now climbing the rankings and you're getting up there in the rankings. So what do you think are the biggest differences from that first run in your career in the UFC that was successful, and then this second run, which has been so much more successful?
Man, there's a lot of things, but the main things is the my why I started doing this and why I did this, and everything is with purpose, you know. I feel like before it was kind of like young and dumb, you know, and just kind of like being there plateauing in a little bit, not really caring and stuff like that. And I always train. I discipline is no problem for me. I have no problem being disciplined and all that stuff. But the biggest thing was like the really why that I started this and why I do this and the reason why I started this. So that was the whole thing. And obviously the mentality is a lot more different, you know, the confidence and seeing your opponents, what they've done, and obviously what Ilya done and stuff like that. So that helped a lot more. And yeah, man, everything was with purpose, and I can't wait to finish it all the way to the top. And even in the first run, when I was in the UFC, I'm gonna be a world champion, and I will be a world champion.
So, why do you think that happened to you mentally? Why do you feel like you felt a little bit more ejected than focused?
When it's that time of like when it comes to you hit a rock bottom, and as a human being, when we ever hit rock bottom, we do things differently, you know what I mean? And we start like really getting our, as they say, getting our shit together, you know? So I had the oh shit moment, and I really had to be like, let's get this going. You have no other choice. This is it.
So, juxtaposing that, what do you think is motivating you now?
What's motivating me now?
Yes.
Oh, there's a lot of things, but the main one is obviously to get that belt, and that's what the biggest motivator, you know. And obviously my why is my brother passed away and stuff like that, and for me is like I'm not letting that man down, man. I've done a lot of things in my life, and that's the one thing I will not do.
Did you get to train with your brother?
Nah, man, they always whooped my ass. I never got to train with them, you know. I always respected them and stuff like that, and they always the one who pushed me and tell me to go fight and stuff like that. And yeah, man, I never did that, and I never will. So yeah, they're the better ones. They're the better fighters.
Yusuf, why do you feel that the UFC kind of keeps people in the UFC that shouldn't really be there, but also gets rid of or kicks out fighters that should be in the UFC? We've just seen Martin Budai, he was 7-1. That's a really strong record, especially at heavyweight, where there's like a scarcity of really good fighters, and also yourself, who should, in my opinion, shouldn't have been cut from the UFC due to the quality of your game. You know what I mean? Like, you match up well against all these other fighters, and now you've proven that you shouldn't have been cut to begin with. So why do you feel that the UFC kind of picks and chooses to get rid of some fighters and to keep some?
I think it's all about like politics and timing and all that stuff and moments. You know, this sport, it's not what it used to be anymore. You know, it's not like, oh, who's the best in the world? It's more of like, okay, this guy's a big draw. This guy is this guy is that, or stuff like that. Obviously, for me, I was at the moment of, okay, I went on a three losing streak and a draw. So they're like, okay, we don't need this kid no more and stuff like that. And they kind of go on the moment and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a brutal business, man. It's a really hurt business, and sometimes I love it, sometimes I hate it, but I always love it.
The fight after you got cut, sorry, the fight before you got cut was the Damien Blackshear draw. So I rewatched that fight a whole bunch of times, and I didn't look at the judges' scorecard, but from what I saw, it looked like Damon edged out 10-9 in 1 and 2, just in the second round, just right, stole it from you, and I feel like you 10-8ed him in the third. So was that the judges' scorecard? Because I didn't get to read it.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much it. That was they gave him the first two rounds, and then they gave me a 10-8 in this third round.
What do you think they should do with draws in the UFC? Do you think that they should have draws, or should they do like K1? Because I remember Buakaw, if you used to watch his fight, he would always draw in his K1 match, and they would do an extra round, and he would smash the guy in the final round.
I mean, if they had a final round, that kid would have been done. And then I don't think we should have went to a draw, but that's just my opinion. And this it is what it is. That kid was done. And then obviously, what do you call it? I don't think he won what the like the second part of the round, whatever. But hey, it is what it is. What happens, happens. And what he made us is the best thing. But draws definitely can happen. You know, you never know, because sometimes eye pokes and stuff like that, and you take a point. So, yeah, but I would love for them to have, if it was a draw, you go one more round. I'll be super happy to do that.
Out of all the people that have fought Ilia Topuria, I feel like your performance has aged the best out of everyone. If you really, really look at the details of all the matches, with he had some moments with Bryce Mitchell taking him down as well. And if you rewatch the Max Holloway fight, Max, in my opinion, won rounds 1 and 2 just off striking with him, but is probably using more gas. And Ilia puts him out in the third. Which was, if you rewatch that, that's also his brother and his game plan. They wanted him to gas out by putting too much volume on. But what the main point I'm saying here is that I feel like your performance out of everybody's was the most competitive. I feel like you did the best out of everybody. So how do you feel about that now that you know that you've been able to have such a strong performance up against now a two division champion in the UFC, also at the same time his run in MMA now being almost like a generational talent, for you to have such a strong performance that we up against a fighter like that? How does that make you feel?
I mean, it always feels good, you know, but that was a terrible Yusef. That was not even the good Yusef, man. So it definitely aged well. And obviously, it's an inspiring. It's like to see a guy does what he does, and to really be a superstar of the game, and he's the head of the UFC. You know what I mean? So for me, it's an inspiration and a motivation to go out there and believe in myself and do the things that I've done and I've done before and what I'm doing right now. So it's definitely an eye opening, and it's definitely like a motivational thing type. Like, okay, like you can hang with the best even though you're not at your best.
When I did research on that fight, I believe that your coach was there, and then you kind of got a opponent change, and then you had to fly out there and you had to fight him. I feel like I think it was the third round where you started really, really getting going in that match. So can you tell me a little bit more about that performance? What do you think you would change if you had like a full camp, everything was going well, and you had all your coaches and all the preparation to actually prepare for that match?
Ah, man, there's a lot of things, you know. That's why the greatest thing is losses are the best learning experiences. So There's a lot of things, training, mentality, everything, you know what I mean? Put more muscle on and all that stuff. Like, there's a lot of things a lot of guys don't know about, you know what I mean? I was 154 on fight day on that day, so it's like not even a featherweight, you know? So that's why I had to move light, I mean, bantamweight in the end of my career, like end of my first UFC stint. So, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of things, but yeah, man, I'm happy that what happened happened, and all those learning experiences happened, and it's pushing it to the future, to a better future.
Do you think you can make 135 again?
No.
How hard's that weight cut?
Yeah, it's getting harder. Yeah, it's definitely getting harder now, and yeah, it's not as fun as anymore as it used to be.
Do you feel like going back to Josh now, do you feel like you took that fight knowing that you can beat him because you fought Calvin Kattar, who they said kind of got robbed of that fight against Josh and had such a competitive fight with each other that you kind of feel like if it wasn't close with Calvin and you kind of outskilled him, you have the abilities to outskill Josh, who's, as I said, kind of holding the division with being a gatekeeper?
Doesn't matter, man. I didn't care. I was like, I'm willing to outskill anybody in that top 10. So for me, it was just the right opponent, right time, or just an opponent. So for me, I really didn't matter to me. And like you said, it's not my choice to you want to be in the top 10 and not fight. That's not my choice. You know what I mean? I'm here to try to fight the best, and that's all I'm pushing for, and that's all I'm gonna keep going for until I get what I want.
Why do you feel like they didn't accept you, some of these fighters?
The style is hard, you know. I do move a lot. I do, like, it's hard to find me and stuff like that. So some guys call it boring. Some guys don't want to deal with it. So which I like, hey man, it's part of the game. Do your thing, you know. But hey, I'm gonna be me, and I'm keep doing me, and I'm never gonna change me.
If you're you, what's your favorite part of MMA? What do you like so much about fighting?
Oh God. I loved so much about the fighting. It's the energy. It's the atmosphere. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, there's nothing like it in the world. When they lock that cage, everything just shuts down. You don't hear nobody. Just you and the guy and the coaches. It's amazing what the human body can do and it's capable of.
Out of every single fighter that I've had on the show, you know, other people have fought in different rule sets, but there's only one fighter that's fought boxing, kickboxing, and MMA in one night, and that's you, right, with the Sparta tournament. So why do you feel like you took this, why do you feel like you took the contract and accepted it? Do you feel like this was a once in a lifetime opportunity for you to have all these sports in one night?
No, I had no choice. Nobody wanted to fight. So the only thing I was going to do is fight that tournament and risk everything I got to go get a fight. Because if I lost in the boxing, I would not even fight MMA. So my only option was to go out there and do what I needed to do to go fight MMA so I can have an MMA fight in my record and go from there.
Yusuf, tell me a little bit more about Mark Montoya. What do you think he's done for your career as of late? Like, what how's he influenced you? How's he incentivized your career?
And he done a lot of things to me, you know. He got me in as a young kid, you know. He basically grew up all my pro career. My whole pro career has been with him, and my last two amateur fights have been with him. So it's definitely been a long, long time, and I can't wait to take it all the way to the top. You know what I mean, with him and be his first world champion in the world in the UFC.
Just on another note, with your teammate Brandon Royval, what do you think about him going up to 135? How do you think he does at bantamweight?
Oh, he's a huge guy. He's a huge, huge guy. So, at 35, I see him having no problem. Obviously, you got to get some size on him, but his cardio is insane. So, I definitely have see him having no problem at 35.
Yusuf, my final question for you today is how do you develop your MMA IQ?
There's a lot of ways to do it, right? Obviously, by watching. We're humans. We're amazing of watching and replicating whatever the guy does and stuff like that, and obviously studying as well. So those are kind of like the things that I took in. Some guys will write things on or do a lot of things, but that's I feel like that's the best thing it's been, is obviously experiencing it, doing it on your own, but also watching other people doing it and learning from them. Because sometimes we're going over ego, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do his style. He's this and this and that, but this is not the time to go over. You gotta go over your ego and really learn and grow.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Yusuf, for your time. Is there any final remarks you want to say to everybody at home as we wrap up the podcast today?
No, thank you for having me, man, and make sure to buy the pay-per-view, and I'll see you guys October 4th.
Follow Yusuf Zalal on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
See you, my man.
Become a combatant.